Good morning, all. We are up to the pretty close to the end. Just a couple more Mishnayos. Tomorrow, God willing, will probably be our last day of finishing on Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and then we'll continue with Maseches Tainis. But right now, we're up to Perek Dalet, Mishnah Zion, Chapter 4, Mishnah 7. So it says the Mishnah as follows: Ha'over lefnei ateva b'yom tov shel Rosh Hashanah. A person who's going to come to lead the services, going to come up to the teva, come up to the ark in the front to lead the services. Hasheni matkia. The Mishnah wants you to know that the second person, meaning the person who's going to be leading the services for Musaf, he is not the one who blows the shofar, rather Matkia. He causes the shofar to be blown. In other words, the Mishnah is clarifying over here that you should never have the same person davening Musaf also blowing shofar, because this is never going to be a good situation. He'll be too confused. He won't be able to do it. But not obviously not in Rosh Hashanah, but in a regular holiday, when we have a person who is leading the services, so who is the one who's going to say Hallel? The person who's up there first, the person who says Shacharis, he's going to be the one who leads the recitation of Hallel. And the reason why the Mishnah explains this and is basically just to teach us that Hallel is a mitzvah, and so we want to say Hallel at the first possible opportunity. So we obviously would say it after Shacharis and not after Musaf. Following the idea of his reason back to be in the mitzvah, so we want to try to do the mitzvahs as soon as possible. Mishnah Ches, the eighth Mishnah says, Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah. So we are so concerned about violating rabbinic commandments when it comes to shofar that I would even uproot the blowing of shofar for rabbinic commandments. So, for example, when it comes to tuchum, I'm not allowed to go beyond the tuchum. Right, I can't go more than 2,000 amos beyond my city limits to either hear a shofar or to obtain a shofar. Nor can I say that I know there's a shofar underneath this pile of dirt or rubble. I can't remove this pile of rubble, even though technically it's only a rabbinic thing, a muktzah. Still, you see, I can't remove that rubble to get the shofar. Lo olin by ilan, I can't climb up a tree to get a shofar. Right, for some reason, if I have my tree only on the top of a tree and I left it there before Yantav, before Shabbos, on Rosh Hashanah, I can't go up to get it. Lo roch ben al gabe behema, lo shat in al pnei amayim. Nor can a person travel by riding on an animal. Nor can a person swim in water to obtain the shofar or to hear the shofar. Vein choschen also. Nor can a person cut a shofar. In other words, let's say you have a shofar that's like broken, but you know you have a little cut over here or there, maybe it'll fix it, maybe it'll make it work. You can't do that. Whether it's a rabbinic decree, so for example, taking something like a knife would be just a rabbinic decree, but even that, I would not be able to cut the shofar with that. Whether something's in a daraisa, so something like a large instrument, like a saw, let's say I want to take a saw to cut the shofar, that would also be prohibited as a Torah commandment. But if a person says, oh, I need to make my shofar a little bit better, to make the sound a little bit stronger, is to put a little water or put a little wine in it, that would be permissible, and a person can do that to make their shofar blowing better on Rosh Hashanah. You can't blow it on Shabbos. We know that a person can't blow shofar on Shabbos, but we don't stop a little child. If a kid picks up a shofar and starts blowing it, we don't stop him from doing that. You want to know how much we don't stop him from doing that? If a little kid, who's not such a little kid, but he's at the age where he can start learning how to blow shofar, we're allowed to teach him how to blow shofar on Shabbos until they learn how to do it. So in other words, once he learns, we should probably not let him do it anymore. But if we want to teach him to do it on Shabbos, that in theory would be permissible. Now, what the Mishnah does not say is to what extent are we allowed to teach him? Can I myself even blow the shofar to teach him? That's not so clear, but the Mishnah says nonetheless that I could teach him, and we would have to delve a little bit more into the halacha to understand this. And finally, the Mishnah concludes, the Mesaseg lo yatza. I'd say a person is busy, and when they're busy, they hear the shofar blowing. So in other words, they don't have the intention to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar. So says the Mishnah, lo yatza, a person has not fulfilled his obligation, even if he heard the shofar, but he wasn't intending to fulfill the mitzvah, he can't fulfill the obligation. Vashomea min ha-mesaseg lo yatza. Let's say a person who's just messing around, blowing the shofar, not intending to fulfill the obligation to blow the shofar, and someone else hears that person who hears him, even if he has the intention to fulfill the mitzvah, can't fulfill his obligation because the one who was blowing it was not doing it with that intent. That brings us to the end of Mishnah Ches, of Mishnah 8. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Tes and finish the Masechta, but for now, we will stop right here. Have a great day.